Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Carrie Doyle, who is the co-founder of what's coming up in mid-April, which is known as Hamptons Whodunit Weekend. This is going to be, I guess, a smaller version of the film festival, but it goes on for how many days is it? It's going to take place?
Well, we launch with the launch party on Thursday night, April 10th, and then we have panels and events Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's the 10th to the 13th.
So that's quite a long time. The Hamptons have been the scenes of numerous murders over the years. They tend to get a lot of play. And what you're going to have happen is, I should just tell everyone, is there will be about 40 different authors and lecturers, and they'll be giving lectures and performing and describing different aspects of the literary world of publishing and writing books about murders, and whodunit is the sort of a Agatha Christie 4-day celebration. Where does it take place exactly? And I know there are several different venues.
Right. So I'm actually an East Hampton Village trustee, and one of my co-founders is Mayor Jerry Larson. And we founded it. Our initiative was to bring business into East Hampton Village in the off season. So we work in collaboration with the village. So all of our events take place in East Hampton Village. And our panels, our launch parties at the Maidstone Club, and tickets are still available to that. And then we have all our authors and forensic experts will be in attendance there, and our sponsors. And then we have our panels. Our true crime panels are at East Hampton Library, and our fiction panels are at Hoey Hall, which is part of St. Luke's Church. They're right across the street from each other. And our hub, where people pick up their lanyards and where we have book signings and where South Fork Bakery will be selling their baked goods, is Clinton Academy, which is two doors down from the library. And then we also this year have a few exciting things. We're finally working in partnership with Guildhall, which they were under construction the past 2 years when we started out. And Amazon Prime has joined with us, Prime Video, to host a panel with Alifair Burke, one of our honorary co-chairs, and show a sneak extended preview of her book, movie Better Sister, which is based on her book. And the showrunners from that show will be in discussion, and that'll be interviewed by Chloe Mellis, who is on NBC News. So that's a very exciting event. That's Friday night. And we're happy to work in collaboration with Guildhall and all the nonprofits, the Historical Society and the library. It's exciting. And Bay Street Theater, we work in collaboration with them. And so some of our nighttime events, we have escape rooms at the library on Friday night, and we have wine and crime and trivia nights are at Hoey Hall at night. And we will have, murder mystery game and trivia night are at Hoey Hall. Wine and crime will be at the emergency services building. So we have a lot of, we're using all the little venues all around our historic, charming town, which is sometimes we take it for granted. But when people come, they're really amazed at how beautiful our town is.
Hundreds of people come to this every year.
We had about 2,000 people last year, and our prices range. We want to be affordable programming, so we have a lot of free events, which sell out fast. Actually, the escape rooms, they're free, but we just need a sign up that goes. And then Hugh King, the town historian, does on Friday and Saturday graveyard talks, which are huge. Hugely popular. He talks about Goody Garlic. We had the first witch in East Hampton 30 years before Salem. So he's the expert on that. His late wife wrote a book on it. So that is hugely popular. And that's at dusk, and it's very mysterious, and people love that. So yeah, we integrate the whole village with our festival.
Well, it's interesting between St. Luke's and the library where some events are taking place is the town cemetery, for which goes back. Some of the earliest settlers are buried there. And I should think of some scoundrels who are buried there, who are prominent, and perhaps some victims. I know there's a lot of the gardeners, which were the and are the owners of the second largest island, private island in America, off the coast of Amagansett, and had at one point, because of the way that is also was deeded to our ancestors back then in 1639. It was done in the same way that a state was formed. And as a result, the proprietor of Gardner's Island had the ability to hold trials. And there was a murder on Gardner's Island. And he not only held a trial and was the judge, but also gave the sentence, which was accomplished under the hanging tree, which is, I'm told, still there.
Wow. I did not know that. I did know that Lion Gardner was the one, it was his daughter who accused Goody Garlic of being a witch. And actually, it seems like she was convicted. And then Lion Gardner waived her sentence because he knew his daughter had been in sort of a postpartum delirium.
Yeah.
It wasn't all mercenary.
Is there any, what goes on? Is anything going on in the cemetery at night? Let's ask that first.
Well, that's the graveyard tours, cemetery tours that Hugh King is doing. And I mean, it's a beautiful backdrop, as you said. You know, if you're going between Hoey Hall and the library for these any nighttime events, you're passing right past, you know, this beautiful historic cemetery. So it can be, you know, a mysterious backdrop, which is really appealing to our authors and our audience, because we definitely, you know, I've been to other festivals and some of them are in hotel lobbies of chain hotels by airports, and they don't really have the whole, you know, authentic backdrop that we have. So we're lucky to have it. And everything is walking distance. We also have the Hampton Jitney does a trolley to bring people from hotels and around the village. And we hope people will eat in the village. And we've offering a few new events this year. One of them is our murder mystery game, which is going to be at Hoey Hall, which is, you know, you get a character and you play with the authors, the fiction authors who are attending. Another one, this is a free event that's still open to the public. It's called I Think I Know Who Done It. And that's going to be Saturday night, 5 to 6:30 at Village Bistro on Main Street. And you don't need a ticket. You can show up. All of our true crime and forensic experts will be there. And this is your chance to interface with them and say, you know, I heard your panel today. And I actually think that, you know, JonBenet was murdered by this person or something, you know, so I think this person did it, or I want to ask you further. Or you can say, you know, I've always been wondering about this case, the Lindbergh kidnapping. What is your expert opinion? So it'll have happy hour prices and you can come in and chat with these forensic experts who include an FBI interrogator, the founder of the Cold Case Institute in the United States, a retired police officer, and we have trial lawyers, someone who's a jury, does jury selection. So there's a mass of people with expertise. And what's actually unique about our festival, having gone to other festivals, is we give a lot of interface. We're still intimate. So you really can come and talk to the authors. You can talk to the forensic experts. There's a lot of opportunity and a lot of free opportunity and a lot of other places you have to pay to actually talk to them. But that's not the case. We want it to be a relaxed, interactive festival, and people really appreciate that.
Do you have to sign up or have tickets to the event ahead of time that you buy? How does that work?
So on our website, hamptonswhodoneit.org, there's a link to Eventbrite where you would buy your weekend panel passes. If you buy a day pass or a weekend panel pass, that gets you free into any panel. And you don't, you know, you can go to any panels you want. You can pick and choose. Our nighttime events are ticketed, and you need to sign up. You have to buy tickets for those or sign up. And even our graveyard tour and our escape room, as I said, even though they're free, we need to keep none of us under control. So you need to sign up to them. But the only one that you don't need to sign up for is I Think I Know Who Done It. You can just come by on Saturday, and that's going to be, you know, as I said, a really fun new event. We're also offering what's appealing not just to the public, but to the publishers and the authors who come is we also offer opportunity for them to connect. So now the big thing as a fiction writer, I know this, bookstagrammers. These bookstagrammers go on Instagram and they rate books and they become very powerful. It's the most powerful tool to promote your book. It's not reviews anymore. It's these bookstagrammers. And so we're having a lot, we had a lot of bookstagrammers come last year, and this year we're doing a special bookstagrammer tickets for bookstagrammers to come. And, you know, you have to apply to be a legitimate bookstagrammer. And then we're having a breakfast for them at the Maidstone Hotel with just with authors. So these authors can get to know these bookstagrammers who will ultimately be promoting them. So that's very appealing for authors and for publishing houses who are trying to penetrate that market. Like we're doing that there.
What are bookstagrammers doing? Maybe spell the word. I've never heard it
yeah,
said.
Yeah, it's like book, B-O-O-K, and then stagrammer, like Instagrammer, S-T-A-G-R-A-M-M-E-R. So it's just, if you sometimes are looking through Instagram and you see someone who has a book, you know, they're talking about books, that's essentially a bookstagrammer. And they become, you know, very powerful at moving and selling books and on TikTok as well.
Are some of them coming to the events out here?
Yeah, we have 36 so far that have are coming. Yeah, and they come from all over. They're very dedicated. They're very motivated. They follow these authors. We've had a lot of the fiction people who come. We've had people come from New Zealand, from London, from everywhere. And a lot of them come because they like a particular author or they're very fanatic about, you know, reading and mystery and the true crime, not true crime, mystery and thriller genre. So we get a lot of people traveling for that. We know that the true crime market is room for even bigger growth than that, because as I said, like I go down to Crime Con and that's 8,000 people, 80% are women. And they are coming from everywhere. And just because they love listening to true crime, you know, panels and podcasts and things like that. So that's going to be a definite room for growth for us, for people to come from all over for our true crime experts who we're having. And we have some very exciting, we're going to be doing a wine and crime and a panel on the death of Natalie Wood, and her sister Lana Wood, who was actually a James Bond girl. She's also an actress, is going to be zooming in. She was going to come, but she has some health issues. And so she'll be on Zoom talking about, she always thought Robert Wagner did it. So that'll be exciting. And then, you know, we have a lot of really good, you know, Casey Sherman, whose aunt was the last victim of the Boston Strangler. We'll be talking about that. Laura Ingle, award-winning journalist, who was the first person on the Scott and Lacey Peterson case, because she's from Fresno. She'll be talking about that. So you'll hear a lot of different information than you think, you know, you knew. That's one thing I find about these cases is you think you know them, and then you come and you hear these experts and you realize how much information you did not have. So that's one thing you'll get out of our panels.
I guess all of this sort of came out of a kind of a thing a long time ago where they would have a whodunit dinner at a restaurant, and there'd be about 40 people in the room, and they would at the end of the meal, there would be a murder during the meal. And is this one of the largest gatherings of this kind that you know of?
It's getting to be, except for CrimeCon, but I will say it's the only one I know of that is both true crime and fiction. So if you go to CrimeCon, that's exclusively true crime. If you go to Capital Crime in London, that's exclusively fiction. Like, we are totally a combination. So there's something for everyone. And that's our goal, to appeal and to have interactive learning and to have, it's not boring. It's interesting. You're engaged, because mysteries, you need to use your brain to solve a mystery. And that's why people like these events, because you know, it's not just salacious. It's just, you're interactive. You're thinking when you hear things.
How did you come up to have this idea to do this out here? I know I met you before we did the first one. I'm a big fan of the main star you had of the at the first one, John Connolly. I'm reading his books.
Oh, Michael Connelly, yeah. Yes.
And met him, and it was like very exciting for me to be part of
I know
that.
that was exciting for me. I was ecstatic because I have read every single book Michael Connelly's read and written, and I've watched every TV show based on his books. I was running for office, and a friend had come from Icelandic Noir, which is a mystery, but fiction mystery crime in Iceland. And she said, you should do one of these. And then when I was running, they asked me, what would I do for off-season programming? And I said, mystery and crime, because I'm a mystery writer, but I'm also interested in true crime. And then Mayor Larson loved that idea. So we got started on that. And we were fortunate, we have some honorary co-chairs who live in the village who were generous with giving us their contacts for fiction authors. And then we just went from there.
And what office were you running for when you first?
Oh, East Hampton Village Trustee.
I see. So yeah. Did you grow up out here in East Hampton?
I grew up summering out in East Hampton. My family always had a house my whole life. And I now spend more of my time, I ran as a second homeowner because 87% of East Hampton Village is second homeowners. And so they hadn't had anyone represent them for about 20 years. So I ran as that. But I do spend, now I work in East Hampton and then I come back to New York to relax. So it's the opposite. But my husband's mostly in East Hampton, but I do like to go back and forth. But I love East Hampton, obviously.
Did you discover it initially? Were you born and raised out here?
Born and raised in New York City.
What was your, when you were growing up, were you interested in crime fiction early on, or had you thought you'd become a doctor or a housewife? Or what was your thinking as you grew into personhood?
Well, I think I always was going to be a writer because I always wrote stories. And my aunt was head of Doubleday Book Clubs. And so she used to ask my sister and I to read and do reviews of books, age appropriate, and see if they should be part of it. So she had us do that. And I always loved writing. And my favorite books were always mysteries. And then additionally, I ended up being sort of around a lot of murders in my building in New York City. My upstairs neighbor used to go jogging with O.J. Simpson, and our doorman stopped letting him in. They stopped telling our upstairs neighbor when he was coming to go jogging. And we thought, why are they doing that? And maybe they were racist or whatever. And then when he murdered Nicole Brown Simpson, our doorman said, I stopped letting him up because I saw him beat the hell out of her outside the building. And so I never would let her up again. And that actually years later, Nicole Brown Simpson's diary was published publicly. And she did say the first time he beat me up was outside of this building. So that actually did happen. So I became obsessed with that case, the O.J. Simpson case. I had a friend in boarding school whose sister was murdered at college, and the police came and she was dying, and they said, who did it? And she wouldn't tell them. They knew she knew, but she wouldn't say. And then she died. And that always really haunted me. And they've never caught the killer of that. And I just felt like I'd had a few sort of run-ins. Another doorman killed his wife and went to prison for 25 years. So these all things were kind of close to home to me. And Robert Chambers, the preppy murderer, I used to see him every day, lived two blocks away from me. He would walk around. So it sounds sort of random. I know people have murders, but I grew up on the Upper East Side and I had a lot of, overlap with murders. So it's always been a fascination for me. I love Dominic Dunn. I think was the only person in boarding school that would sit in my room and just read Dominic Dunn books all the time. And actually Dominic Dunn's daughter went to my boarding school, the one who was murdered. So there you go.
Which school did you go to?
In the boarding school I went to was Taft. In Connecticut, but I had gone to Spence School in New York and on the Upper East Side, which is where I grew up. And so, yeah, there was a lot. I guess it's always been sort of something that has fascinated me, that you can know people and then they can do these horrible things. And then you see them carrying on with their lives and you're like, wow, that's, or people who are victims. Again, I think it's important to acknowledge the victims of these crimes. It's not just about the killers. And actually it was interesting. I went to Capital Crime and they said to the audience, everybody here, give me the name of a famous killer. And so people were shouting out Ted Bundy, Jack the Ripper, whatever. And then they said, now give me the name of a victim. And nobody could name a victim because it's the killer who gets the notoriety. It's not the victim. And so we do make We do make it in our mission also to acknowledge the victims. You know, it's not just about the killer who killed them. That's why one of our panels will be on Gabby Petito, who was murdered by her boyfriend. And the good news about her case, her parents have been very active, and you know Gabby Petito's name. You don't really know his name. So that's really how it should be. And I love that there was one book, Jessica Knoll wrote a book about, it's based on the Ted Bundy murders. And she doesn't name him at all. She names the victims. And even in the book, she doesn't. And that's sort of how it should be. That was another case. My aunt was someone who escaped Ted Bundy. And that case also just was an amazing, it totally rocked my world. So yeah, lots of overlap there.
Look, I'm looking out at Central Park across Fifth Avenue while speaking to you. Here on 85th and 5th.
I grew up on 93rd and 5th.
And I never knew any of these murders, but that's just, I guess, a different approach to things. And I'm looking forward to this weekend very much. Where do you go to get tickets? And again, tell us the dates.
Yes. So it's April 10th to 13th. Tickets are selling out fast. As I said, you can write us and be on the wait list if you want, but you go to our website, www.hamptonswhodunit.org. There's one N in whodunit. And there's a link to Eventbrite, which sells our tickets. And I just encourage everybody to come because it's going to be a really fun weekend. Again, as I said, what we really want people to do is it's great for all demographics and ages, like a mother-daughter trip, a couple trip, like a, you know, a bachelorette weekend where you don't want to go to the vineyards the whole time. You want to pop by, come on by. And, you know, we're ADA compliant, all except for the graveyard. So anyone for, you know, if you're in wheelchair or handicapped, it's a great thing to do on a weekend if you're looking for something.
Thank you for being on the podcast, and I'll see you there.
Great. Thanks, Dan. We look forward to seeing you.